you reminded me. I forgot
here.
To.
Here.
What's that?
Oh,
I forgot to put it.
One of my favorite Mefarshim of Torah is the Meshech Chochma of Meir Simcha Kohen Mitvins, also known as the Or Sameach. And I want to learn with you tonight one piece that I consider to be a classic. Now, those of you who come to my shiurim will most probably say, well, you think that every piece of the Or Sameach is a classic. And that's also true. But this one is one that I've worked on for years, and every few years I come up with something new, something to add and expand to the words of the of Rav Meir Simcha, and its significance is going to be twofold. It's going to lead us in to the whole essence of the process of tshuva, and it will also give us an opportunity to deal with events here in Eretz Yisrael today. The Meshech Chochma, you have it right here. Now, on one side you have the Meshech Chochma. On the other side, there are the various texts with which the Meshech Chochma deals. And I will tell you, as the moment arrives when we have to look into the texts, these four texts are a section from Parashat Hazinu, from Va'etchanan, from Pinchas, and Zot HaBracha. The first three are used by the Meshech Chochma. The fourth is one of my additions to what he has to say. Okay, that's enough. That's enough introduction. Meshech Chochma. End of Parashat Hazinu. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go up to the mountain and you are to see Eretz Yisrael. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael, but go up to the mountain and see it. And the words are Ure'e et Eretz Kenam Asher Ani Notein Livnei Yisrael La'achuza. Go up and you will see. I want you to see the land that I give to the children of Israel and as an inheritance. The problem that troubles the Meshech Chochma is there are a few other places in Torah where God says to Moshe to go up to the mountain and take a look at Eretz Yisrael. One of them, the first one for that matter, is in Parashat Pinchas. And the pasuk there says, "Uve Parshat Pinchas, Omalo." In Parshat Pinchas, God said to Moshe, "Ale el har ha'avodim hazeh, go up to the mountain that crosses over, ude'ei et ha'aretz asher natati livnei Yisrael, and take a look at the land that I gave to the children of Israel." We take a look at these two psukim side by side, then it's very clear that there's a serious problem. In Parashat Pinchas it says, take a look at the land that I gave, past tense, Asher natati livnei Yisrael, that I gave to the children of Israel. In Parashat Hazinu it says, Ure'e et haaretz, take a look at the land, Asher ani notein, that I give, present tense, it means, I'm always giving it, I'm always giving the land to the Jewish people. Another significant difference between the two is, that in Hazinu, there's an added word. Take a look at the land that I give to the children of Israel, la'achuza, as an eternal inheritance. Doesn't say that in Parashas Pinchas, but it says it in Hazinu. Now, so the Meshech Chochma wants to understand, what is the Torah talking about? I would add something else. In Parashat Hazinu, before God speaks to Moshe, it says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe, and God spoke to Moshe. In Pinchas, it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Now, why? What's the difference between Vayedaber and Vayomer, and why one place does it say Vayedaber and the other Vayomer? Meshech Chochma does not deal with that. But I plan to deal with that within the context of what he has to say. So now the Meshech Chochma begins and explains to us the following. It's so powerful, it's so beautiful. Its ramifications are awesome. He says the following, V'ha'inyan, Ki kamosha amru, as our rabbi said in Perek Hamocha, Peirotim Bazapatra, the Amalel Avram, God said to Avram, Kum hitalech ba'aretz la'orko ulerachbo ki lechoet nena. God's command to Avram was arise and go through the land to its length and its breadth, because to you I am giving kadesh tehein ochal lichvosh livnei banav. The purpose of Avram walking through the land is that he is going to, by his act of walking, Avram Avinu is going to make the land easier to be conquered by his children. He's going to blaze the trail for them. What's accomplished by walking through the land? So of course the Gemara says that way he's in a sense taking possession, but the Meshach Chochma says, you know what he's going to do? He's going to compare and contrast. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, look at the land. Avram Avinu was told, walk through the land. What's the difference between the two? So the Meshach Chochma says, Avram had tremendous powers and strengths, and so did Moshe. But there was a difference. The difference was that Avram Avinu's uniqueness, his legs, he walked. And he's going to explain. Moshe Rabbeinu's power was in his eyes. He saw what no other man ever saw. He was the one that was able to bring God to be revealed to the entire people. Vayar kolham, all of them see God before their very eyes. Avram's strength is walking. Kum hitalech baretz. By the way, isn't that what it says? First communication of God to Avram is lech lecha me'artzecha u'melarecha. Go from your home, your native land, to the land. Vayelech Avram, and Avram went as God commanded him. But the Meshach Chochma is going to take us a giant step forward, and he says the following: V'zeh kol echad l'fi ma'alato. Each one has his own great advantage. Avram and Moshe. Avram b'meh shehitalech l'fanav. Says Avram was mitalech, he walked before God, and he expands this to mean a great deal more. This man came from the very ends of the earth in two ways, geographically and also spiritually. We're going to talk later about the Rambam's powerful description of Avram Avinu as being born into a family, a society, a culture, a world of idolatry. Avram Avinu is going to make a major spiritual journey, and he's also going to make a geographic, physical journey. He goes, he walks, and watch what happens. Ki hayomi merchak, he was distant, miktzotaretz, at the very ends of the earth. Rachok miyidiyat Hashem yidbarach. He was so distant from the knowledge of God. V'nitgadel, v'nitchazek, v'chochmat levavo. He strengthened himself and he grew by virtue of his own wisdom. The Rambam describes Avram Avinu as a genius of awesome proportions who was able to discover an invisible God in a world that had forgotten him, in a world that God didn't exist. And Avram Avinu discovers him, all by virtue of his great intellectual strength, and with the wisdom of his heart, lahakir mitziyuto, to recognize the existence of God, yidbarach, may he be blessed. And you know what he did? He started walking. Walking in that spiritual sense. V'halach l'karov atzmo l'Hashem, and he went to bring himself closer to God. U'bahalichato, and as he is walking through the world, he understands that it's his responsibility to share with the rest of the world his great discovery. He tells people there's a one and only God. You're all wrong. You're making a terrible, terrible mistake. And as he went, he made known his belief, and he called upon all people to join him in the service of God. As it says, wherever he came, Avram called in the name of God. Lachain, therefore says the Meshech Chachma, there is strength and there's power, awesome power, in Avraham Avinu's walking. Lachain hayav bekorach halichato lichbosh haaretz. As he walks into Eretz Yisrael, symbolically and otherwise, he is conquering, he's conquering the land. Ulahapil tzvo hashamayim imal, and to bring down the very heavens upon those who live in the land. Vilichbosh ha'amim ashiyu rakimcha tchina. He was able to conquer them so that they were nothing more than ground flour. Alright? So that's Avraham. Avraham's strength, his feet. He walks. He journeys. He journeys through Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi mentions it a number of times in Parashat Lech Lecha. Wherever he stopped, he went to Ai, and he went to Elon Moreh, here, there, everywhere. Shetehei ha'oretz nocha, that the land should be easier for a conquest for his children. He's blazing the trail. He's preparing the way. Moshe's greatness were in his eyes. The one who saw more than anyone, any human being was ever able to see. V'chein b'Moshe, v'amesh inid gadel, v'hit galut kvod ashanir barach, by virtue of the fact that his greatness came by revealing the honor and glory of God, lahamon am kulo, he was able to bring that an entire people should see God. Vayar ha'am, God comes down to Sinai, they all see it. Va'anan kivodo hayocho feif aleihem, and the cloud of glory descended upon them 40 years. And through this he strengthened the foundations of faith. V'chein, therefore, hayo v'koach re'ot einav, the power in his vision, his eyes, ligrom shetehenich v'shet ha'oretz l'fnei b'nei Yisrael. By his eyes, he is the one who is setting the stage and conquering Eretz Yisrael for his children. Zeshamah, and this is what it says. It's beautiful, you know. Goyen Adir, this Meshech Chachma. If you'll turn over for a moment and take a look at the second paragraph, Ve'ebchanan, where it's underlined. Alei Rosh HaPisgah, go to the top of the mountain, the Soinecha, lift up your eyes. Yomo, Tzofono, Teimono, Umizracha, all the directions, Ude'ei Ve'inecha, and see with your eyes, Kilo Tavor et Hayarden Azeh, because you're not going to cross this Jordan. I underlined Ude'ei Ve'inecha, and see with your eyes. The Meshech Chachma does not take note of this, but I wonder, what should he see with? His feet? His nose? His ears? What should he see with? Where does God tell him? Most people, all people, see with their eyes. But it will become clear in a moment. You're not going to cross this Jordan. And strengthen him and give him courage. He's going to pass and cross before this people. For who, listen to the words, for who yam chilo tamet haaretz, he is going to give them as an inheritance the land, asher tir'eh, that you will see. What is this asher tir'eh? He will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. So the Meshech Chachma says, Yoshua didn't conquer the land. You know who conquered the land? Moshe Rabbeinu. And do you know what he's going to do? Yehoshua is going to divide amongst the tribes the land, Asher Tireh, that you will see. Because with the power of your vision, you are already making the conquest. Back to the Meshach Chachma. The Zeshama, he's quoting from Ve'ez Chanon. The Hu Yanchil Otam Yehoshua will cause him to inherit the land, Asher Tireh. Shekvar Kovash. That Moshe had already conquered with the seeing of his eyes. What Yisrael and Yoshua conquered, if there was, he already did the job by virtue of the saintly, holy eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now begins the summation that makes things get even more exciting than before. V'lachein kibush ha'aretz hayo. How many times did Jews come to Eretz Yisrael? That's a question that's asked by the Rav, one of the last shiurim of Tshuva in his Sefer Al HaTshuva. How many times did Jews come to Eretz Yisrael? I think I remember that shiur because I can sort of see him saying it. And he says, I don't mean historical. This is not a Zionist question. Halachically, how many times did Jews come to Eretz Yisrael? And of course the answer is that halachically Jews came to Eretz Yisrael twice. In the days of Yehoshua and in the days of Ezra. Because Yehoshua sanctified the land by conquest, and then Ezra sanctified it a second time by settlement. He settled the land. Back to the Meshach Chochma. Lachain, Kibush Haaretz, the conquest of the land was Ha'achas, the first, Mashakovshu Ole Mitzchayim, what was conquered by those who came up from Egypt, and one Mashakovshu Ole Babel, what was conquered by those who came up from Babel, those who returned after the destruction of the first Bet HaMikdash in order to build the second. V'hine Yadua, it's known, the Mashakovshu Ole Babel, Halo Nish'ara Kedushata. The Rambam makes it very clear. Kedusha Rishona, the first sanctity of the land that was done by Yehoshua through his conquest, was cancelled. It no longer exists. And the Rambam says, why? Because Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel came and he conquered the land from us. And the Rambam says, conquest cancels conquest. And if conquest cancels conquest, the Kedusha of Yahushua's conquest, the sanctity of the land, is over. They come back for a second time. They return to Eretz Yisrael, Ezra and Nehemiah, and their 42,000 stragglers come to Eretz Yisrael, and their 8,000 animals, all clearly stated in Ezra and Nehemiah. They come back to establish the second commonwealth. They sanctify the land again. Kedusha Shnia, the second sanctity of the land, remains sanctified for its time and for all time. The sanctity of Eretz Yisrael with regard to the Mitzvot HaTluyot Ba'aretz is all the result of the sanctity of Ezra and Nehemiah. The Rambam, of course, asks on himself the great question, what was the difference between Ezra and Yehoshua? Yehoshua sanctified the land by conquest. How did Ezra sanctify the land? So the Rambam says, Ezra sanctified the land by, and in those days it was not a dirty word, settlement. They settled the land. So the great question is, which is more powerful? Conquest or settlement? It would seem obvious that conquest is far more powerful than settlement. Yet the Rambam has just said the halacha that the conquest of Yehoshua is cancelled out, and the settlement of Ezra and Nehemiah retains its strength and its sanctity ad hayom hazeh, until today. So the Rambam gives the following answer, because the Rambam also is answering another question. The Rambam is also asking a question, because the Rambam says also, that same section, the Rambam says, Kedushat HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim, the sanctity of the temple, HaRabayit, and Yerushalayim, Kedushat this city, when it was sanctified by David and Shlomo, that sanctity remains for all time. For all time. The Loma Niomed, the Raman says, why do I say that Kedushat HaMikdash v'Yerushalayim remains for all time? So he says, because Kedushat HaMikdash, the sanctity of Mikdash in Yerushalayim, is because of Shekhinah, the divine presence. Shekhinah Eino Betela. There's nothing in the world that can remove the divine presence. The Chod, in that shir, he says, that was the difference between Yahushua and Ezra and Nehemiah. When Yahushua entered the land, they conquered the periphery first for years. He conquered the kings of the south. Then they conquered the kings of the coast, the kings in the north. It took 350 years until Jews finally conquered Yerushalayim and sanctified it. So here it was. Long period of conquest. And only 350 years later, Jews come to Yerushalayim. When Ezra and Nehemiah came from Babel, do you know where they went? They went straight to Yerushalayim. And the Rav says, you know what they did? They settled first in Yerushalayim, and they took the sanctity of Yerushalayim and brought it out of Yerushalayim to all of Eretz Israel. So the second sanctity is one that is the result of the divine presence. Then the sanctity of the days of Ezra and Nehemiah may remain for all time. What is it that the Meshech Chachma now wants to say? In Pinchas and in Harzinu, we're talking of two aspects of Moshe Rabbeinu's vision of the land. Or for that matter, we can say that one of them, in a sense, represents Avram, and the second is Moshe. He looks twice. The first represents the conquest of Eretz Yisrael by Yahushua. The second represents the settlement of the land by Ezra and Nehemiah. What's the difference between the two? The first one is not for all time. The second is for all time. Now we understand the difference between the Psukim. In Parshas Pinchas it says, Re'ei, take a look at the land, Asher not tati, that I gave, past tense, because that sanctity is going to be part of the past. But the second time, that's Parshas Hazinu, take a look at the land, Asher anochi notain, that I give to the Jewish people, and not merely give it, I give it la'achuza, as an inheritance. You know what that means? That in Hazinu we are talking about Ezra and Nehemiah, and that sanctity remains for all time. The Torah, God does not use the past tense over there. There he uses the present all the time. I keep giving Eretz Yisrael to you. But the first represents Yahushua. That was past tense. Let's see what he says over here. V'hina yadua. It is known to Masha Kopshu Ole Bavel, that which was conquered by those who came from Babel, halum yishara kedushata, the sanctity remained, the kedusha shnir, because the second sanctity, kidshala atid lato, became holy for all time. Mashakovshu olo mitzrayim, but that which was conquered by those who came up from Egypt, lo kidshala atid lato, did not become sanctified for all time. And therefore, now he explains, in Pinchas it says, take a look at the land that I gave to the children of Israel. I will come. But over here in Azinu it says, Ure'eyat Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Notein Livnei Yisrael La'achuza, I give as an inheritance. Shekidosha Zem Ashekovshu Oli Bavel, that's what was conquered by those who came up from Bavel. Shekidosha La'olam, that is sanctified for all time. Uka'achuza, it's like an inheritance. She'ein La Hefsek, nothing can interrupt it. And it can never be sold, never given away. It belongs to Klal Yisrael. Kiraot enav shel Moshe. Because the vision, the look of Moshe Rabbeinu, Chilka et Haaretz, divided the land. Two looks. One, Ba'ofen HaKibush, B'neshetiel of Ne'yusol Achuza, U'B'mashe Yufsak B'chubim Bayit Rishon. One look represented the first conquest, and the second look represented the settlement in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. That's the Meshach Chachma. That's the Meshach Chachma. We have to take this Meshach Chachma, I believe, a step further. Avraham Avinu walks through the land. Avraham Avinu walks through the land. Avraham Avinu most probably could be considered the first Baal Tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his shiurim, describes that there are two kinds of tshuva. There is a tshuva of kibush, conquest, a tshuva of conquest, which we will describe in a moment, and then there is a tshuva of settlement. There's a tshuva that is like Yahushua, and there is a tshuva of Ezra and Nehemiah. What does the Rav mean? There are different ways in which people do tshuva. There are people for whom the process of tshuva is a lifetime undertaking. It's a lifetime of working on oneself, conquering one position after another, a struggle. It's a struggle. Avraham Avinu's was the most awesome struggle of all. For 40 years, for 50 years, he pondered, he thought, he meditated, he questioned. There must be some power over here that created this world. And here he's thinking while he finds himself surrounded by a whole world that has forgotten God completely. The great description of the Rambam, where the Rambam describes the great brilliance of Avraham, that he's able to go against the whole world. Weren't there many nights during which he got up in a cold sweat thinking to himself, I'm the only chuchma in the world. I'm the only one who knows the truth. The rest of the world doesn't know the truth. He also knows, of course, that if he's going to share his great discovery in the world, he's going to find himself in great danger. You can't go against the whole world and think that you're going to remain safe. And he does it. He becomes convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that there is a God, and this God makes demands on us, and there's a purpose to life, and there's a purpose to the world. And he is so convinced that it is so without God ever having communicated to him, that he begins the process of telling this great news to a whole world, and he in fact endangers himself. His process of tshuva took many, many years, many sleepless nights, great emotional and intellectual struggle. Oy, was this an act of greatness? What about Yitzchak? Yitzchak is born into a family of holiness and sanctity with a tata and a mama like Avraham and Sarah. It represents a different kind of Baal Tshuva. The Rav was always fond of talking about the story of Franz Rosenzweig, the German Jewish philosopher who, in I believe it was 1917, he had decided, as unfortunately many German Jews had decided, they had decided that he was going to convert to Christianity, and it was Yom Kippur, and he was walking along the street in Berlin, and he hears noise. And he goes into an alleyway, and he ends up in a Chassidish Shtiebel. I don't know where the Rav knew, but it was a Karlina Shtiebel. Have you ever heard a Karlina davening?
You never heard that? I'll shake you up if I'll start. I davened 7 years in Kali. If I'll start saying the davening way Kali, they shout the davening from beginning to end. Everything out loud from beginning to end. Tremendous kavana. But great Nusach. Franz Rosenzweig remains all day in this Karolina Stiebel in Berlin. And he walks out a completely different person. One experience. And he thought of converting gone. And he went on to become a great Jewish philosopher. There were no years of struggle. A moment of great inspiration. The fact is that we have it in our lives too. It could be a book. It could be a song. It could be a film. There are things that sort of grab at our heartstrings and sort of, you know, it has a powerful effect, I know. And that powerful effect can begin a whole process of tshuva. Right. I read Chaim Sabata's latest novel last week. Halfway through I started crying, and I cried till the end. Unbelievable. He's a great writer. Listen, a good medium from Shlomo Karlbach can do the same thing. There are moments of great inspiration, and one who has the wisdom to take that inspiration and run with it. We've had historic events that were moving and powerful. We still remember a Six-Day War, Nebuch. They've long forgotten it over here. We remember in Entebbe, there were moments of great, great inspiration, great Jewish pride. I don't know what happened to Jewish pride. Here, unfortunately, doesn't exist. It's a terrible tragedy. Avraham Avinu's tshuva was tshuva of kibush. It was tshuva of conquest. It was a struggle. It was difficult. It was a march from the very ends of the earth, geographically, intellectually, spiritually. Not simple at all. Yitzhak is born into the holiest family of all. Yitzhak might even very well be aware of the fact that his very birth was a miracle of the highest order. He is the miracle. What I'm saying is that Avram represents Yehoshua. What Yehoshua does in Eretz Yisrael, conquest, Avram Avinu does not only as far as conquering the land is concerned, but Avram Avinu is the great spiritual conqueror. The struggle, and he succeeds. Yitzchak, you know what Yitzchak represents? I'll tell you exactly what Yitzchak represents. Yitzchak is Ezra and Nehemiah. I'm going to read something. You don't have this. I don't give you everything. You know. There's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says, Vayeda Elov Hashem, and God appeared to him. This was at a point that there was a famine in the land, and God knows that Yitzchak is thinking of following in the footsteps of his father. What did his father do when there was a famine? He went down to Egypt. So God appears to Yitzchak and he says, Al Teired Mitzchayim, or don't go down to Egypt. Shron Vardetz, dwell in the land. Don't leave Eretz Yisrael. And the Medrash says, what does Shron Vardetz mean? I'll say Shona, build a neighborhood. Have a notea, plant. Have a zodea, seed. Work the land. What does Yitzchak Avinu do? He digs wells and he plants. Do you know what he's doing? He's doing exactly He's doing exactly what the Rambam said Ezra and Nehemiah did. They came, and you know what they did? They settled the land. Yitzchak is settling the land. But when God says to him, Shchon Ba'aretz, you should dwell in the land, you know what else he's saying? Shchon Ba'aretz. Shakenet Hashchina Ba'aretz. Bring the divine presence down to the land. What did we say Ezra and Nehemiah did? They came straight to the Yerushalayim, to the Makom HaShchina. Yitzchak is the one who maintains the strength of Shchina. That's how he sanctifies the land. Avram sanctifies it by walking through the land, by conquering it. Yitzchak is the one who sanctifies the land by virtue of the fact that he dwells in the land. And therefore the two of them represent the process of tshuva that comes through conquest, the great struggle, and Yitzchak represents the great inspiration. The miracle child who's born to Avram and Sarah, he's Kodesh. He has innate Kedusha. As Rashi says, Ein Chutz Laretz Kedai Lecha. You have no place. You have no place in Chutz Laretz. You stay here. No place else for you to go. Gur Baretz Hazos. Live in this land. Omer Rab Hoshia. Rab Hoshia said, Your Ola Tamima. You were a sacrifice. Ma Ola. In Yotzah Chutz L'Kloyim. An Ola, if you take it outside of Yerushalayim, it's no longer good. You can't leave Eretz Yisrael. By the way, if we are using the Rambam and the Halacha of Kedusha Shnia, the second sanctity, where did Yitzchak get his greatest, the peak of his sanctity? On Hara Maria. And Kedushas Hara Maria, Kedushas Hamidash Yerushalayim is because of Shchina. Or Shchina ain't a betela. But what happens after that? What happens after that is... This already is something that the Meshech Chochmah did not deal with. And I want to deal with it. The Meshech Chochmah told us, Meshech Chochmah really spoke about Hazinu, the Eyet Ha'aretz, see the land. Asher Ani notain Levnei Yisrael Achuzah that I give to the children of Israel's an inheritance. He spoke about Parshas Pinchas today. Take a look at the land Asher Natati that I gave to the children of Israel. He made use of Parshas Ve'etchanan where God says to Moshe, Re'ei Be'einecha, see it with your own eyes. And Yahushua is going to cause them to inherit the land Asher Tireh that you will see. But there's one more place in Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu is told to look at the land. One more place. And the Meshech Chochmah didn't deal with that. I think he left it for me. At the very end of Torah. So Kavracha. Let's look at the last, fourth paragraph. This is immediately before the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. We read it on Simchas Torah. Moshe went up from the plains of Moab al Harnevo, Rosh HaPisgah, to the top of the mountain, Asher al Pnei Yerecho, that faces Yerecho. Listen to what the Torah says now. God showed him the whole land, et ha-Gilad, all of Gilad, Eivra Yardin, until Don in the north. That call Naphtali and all of Naphtali, that Eretz Ephraim, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, that call Eretz Yehuda, for the third time call Eretz, the word call. Everything he shows him, everything. Ad Hayam Ha'acharon, Bet HaNegev, Bet HaKikar, Bikat Yerecho, Ir HaTmadim, the valley of Yericho, the city of Dates, Ad Zoar, Vayomer Hashem Elav. Zot ha'aretz Hashem nishbati. This is the land that I swore to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, saying, Lezaracha etnena. To your children I will give it. He'iticha be'enecha. I showed it to you with your eyes. V'shama lo ta'avor. There's something there's a great deal that's added here in this parasha that the Meshech Chochmah didn't deal with. Over here it's all spelled out. And you know what it's spelled out? All. God says, I swore. I'm going to give it to you. Jewish people are going to have it. I become enraged by the arrogance of mere mortals who dared say the dream of Eretz Yisrael Hashleima is no longer. The awesome arrogance, ignorance, and chutzpah. Do you, mere mortal, think that you are going to undo God's promise to His children? It's unbelievable. A country should shake from beginning to end when such statements are made. And he didn't, he wasn't the one who created it. I remember the first time after a cabinet meeting in 1955, Oslo II, four members of the cabinet were interviewed as they came out after they had decided on Oslo II. The one that I remember, I see his face in front of me, Ehud Barak saying, Chusra, Chalom Eretz Yisrael HaShlema. The dream of Eretz Yisrael HaShlema is over. You know what their problem is? Because by then Eretz Yisrael HaShlema is a nightmare. It's a chalom. You know what it is for us? It's a chazon. It's a chazon. It's the chazon of God, the chazon of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's the chazon of all of the Nevi'im. It's what brought Jews back to this country after 2,000 years. And if they think that it's all over, they're making a very, very tragic mistake. All that I'm waiting for is I just want to see it in our days. And I want to, you know, like, tap Olmert wherever he'll be. I don't know. In Rishon Tours, in Rishon Lezion, wherever I find him. The end of Chalom Eretz Yisrael HaShlema. What an ugly, ugly thing. And I'll tell you how ugly it is. You will never hear the Arab saying, Chusla Palestine HaShlema. They believe with perfect faith that they're going to get every last bit of Eretz Israel. And our people can say, the dream of a complete Eretz Israel is over. What's this parasha here? What did I ask before? How many times did Jews come to Eretz Israel? And the Rav had said, well, halachically he wanted to know how many times did we come. So he said, well, one was in the days of Yeshua. The second was in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. You know what Zot HaBracha is? The third entry of Jews into Eretz Yisrael. Who's that? Us! We are the third entry into Eretz Yisrael. You know what the promise over here is? You're going to get Kol Haaretz, Kol Naphtali, Kol Gilad, Kol Menashe Rabbah, all. Do you know what I believe? If, as we had said, Avram represents the conquest of Yehoshua, and Yitzchak represents the settlement Shom Baretz, the settlement of Ezra and Nehemiah, you know what Yaakov Avinu represents? The third entry into Eretz Israel. Because Yaakov Avinu took possession of the land through settlement and conquest. The land, he says, that I took from the hands of the Amori, the Charvi Ubikashti, with my sword and with my bow. He is also the one who builds homes in Eretz Yisrael. You know what it all goes back to? More than 200 years ago, the Vilna Gaon said the following. The Vilna Gaon said, Jews came in the days of Yeshua and they conquered the land. Jews came in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah and they settled the land. Over 200 years ago, he said, when Jews return for the third time to Eretz Israel, they are going to conquer and settle. Both will be necessary. Was he right? Of course he was right. And he went on to say that the gematria of Yeshua equals the gematria of Ezra and Nehemiah. Kibush and settlement, conquest and settlement. That's how the Vilna Gaon foretold we will get Eretz Yisrael for the third time in our days. And who was that? That was Yaakov Avinu. And each one of them represents degrees of tshuva. And Avraham is the one who represents the tshuva of struggle. Yitzchak represents the tshuva of great inspiration. It can come in a single moment of time. It can come as an act of chesed of God. Oh, there are so many stories. So many stories of people who something triggers in them a dramatic change. That's Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu represents both kinds of Balei Tshuva. And those both kinds of Balei Tshuva are what we find in our days. There are the ones who struggle, and there are the ones who are inspired. So that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov represent the first entry into Eretz Yisrael, the second, the third. They represent the forms of tshuva that took place in each time and ours. Ha'azinu represents Ezra and Nehemiah. Pinchas back there represented Yahushua and the very end of Torah. This last parasha is the parasha that represents Yaakov Avinu. And incidentally, Yaakov Avinu, we sing about Yaakov Avinu. Why do I say that this is Yaakov? How do I know that it's Yaakov? How do I know it's Yaakov? Oh, no, I just made it up. I didn't make it up. What's that song we sing on Shabbos? B'li mitzodim nachalah. Who is the one that's going to get a nachalah? B'li mitzodim, without any boundaries. Kol. That's Yaakov Avinu. And you know when we say that? We say that in the Haftorah of Yom HaKippurim. And Yom Kippur, we say, Oz. Tis Amag Al Hashem, the end of the Torah of Yom Kippur. Im Toshiv Mishabbos Raglecha, Asot Chafatzecha B'Yom Kodshi V'Karos Ol Shabbos Oneg. If you're going to keep Shabbos as a day of delight, LeKadosh Hashem, to the Holy One of God, V'Chibadeto, and you will honor it. You're not going to work. You're not going to do what you shouldn't do. Oz Tit Amag Al Hashem. Then you will enjoy God. We hear Kafticha Obama Teyaretz. I will have you ride upon the heights of the land. V'ha'achalticha Nachalas Yaakov Avicha. And I'm going to give you the inheritance of Yaakov. And Rashi says, what is the inheritance of Yaakov? Nachalah, an inheritance b'lim mitzahim. Kol ha'gilad, kol ha'aretz. All of that. That's what the Rebbeinu promised Yaakov Avinu. End of Torah is Yaakov. We are the period of Yaakov. To be Zeicha, maybe we have to do a little bit more to make sure that we will re-educate a people to understand that this is God's land, this is God's gift to the Jewish people. Ha'aretz asher ani notein l'bnei Yisrael, achuz I give it all the time. And the way in which we're going to be able to do this is by, well, maybe some great inspiration by which a Jewish world, will turn to tshuva. We have no other options. We have no other options right now. I think that we have to realize, if ever we have been in a position where what I'm going to say is not merely a bumper sticker, but it is the clear look of reality. Ein lanu al mi lehisha'en elo al avinu shebashamayim. We have nobody to depend on except our Father in heaven. We're not a soul. We don't have leadership. We don't have a government. We have no country in the world that's going to stand up for us against Iran. We have nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And if we realize that we have nothing, then we will realize that we have the greatest power and strength in the world. We have a Rebbeinu Shlelem. And we're going to have to turn to him. That's what we're going to have to do. And we're going to have to turn to him with this understanding that you're the only one. You didn't bring us here to Eretz Yisrael, never, that some tragedy should befall us. You brought us here as a fulfillment of the promise that you made to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe. You swore, we're here. We have to be able to turn to him. That's what Slichas and Hoshani and Kippur are about. to be able to turn to a Rabbeinu Shalom with a sense it all depends on you. We cast and we thrust all of our problems upon you, because you're the only one that can do it. If you got some of those mind, and that's Hashem, we should be safer to see Yeshua's and Nachomis for Klal Yisrael quickly. It can come before Rosh Hashanah. It can come before Yom Kippur. But so much depends on our creating that mood and that sense of a total dependence on a Rabbeinu Shalom.